It's a tool for the gospel. The primary thing is the gospel of Christ.
That's the voice of Billy Graham, of course. He was speaking earlier today at the dedication of the Billy Graham Library, talking about that library as a tool for the gospel. We're going to be talking about Billy Graham here for the next hour of Issues, Etc. It's audio open lines. Got a couple questions to lay before you, especially as we contemplate, as Billy Graham is being honored as the monumental figure, not only in American history, but in the history of the church, that he obviously is. Have you noticed a change in Billy Graham? I'm not talking about in the last couple years. I'm talking about in the last decade or so, in his message, in his teaching, his preaching, his public statements. He had what was, some people speculated, his last crusade. I think it was late in 2005. And he did not rule out the possibility they might do another evangelistic crusade, but apparently he's not planning anything new. If you listen to that and you compare it with Billy Graham of 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, do you notice a change? And if so, do you prefer the old Billy Graham? The Billy Graham of the 1950s and 60s, who was, my goodness, have you ever seen pictures of Billy Graham preaching or video of Billy Graham preaching back in the 50s? He was like Elvis. He was all over the stage, and his style of preaching was matched only by how pointed his preaching was, how clear it was. We're going to be hearing a little bit about the old Billy Graham and a little bit of the new Billy Graham, and I'd like your answers to those questions. Have you noticed a change in the preaching, teaching, and statements of Billy Graham, and do you prefer the old Billy or the new Billy Graham? Our call-in numbers live this Thursday, the 31st of May, during Audio Open Lines. Our call-in numbers, 1-800-730-2727 or 505-7850. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. There's no doubt about it that Billy Graham has a place in history. The big question that everyone's been asking for about the last 10 years, as Graham has aged, is who is his heir apparent? Who's the next Billy Graham? Whoever that is will be known as the next Billy Graham, and probably not so much by their own name. And there's been speculation about who that might be. Some have said T.D. Jakes. Others have said Rick Warren. And there are several others who have, some have wondered whether or not one of his own progeny, his daughter or his son, might be the next Billy Graham. Well, the old Billy Graham is still with us. The first one is still with us. So have you noticed a change in his teaching? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I remember the old Billy Graham because I can remember watching, sometimes on a Saturday or a Sunday night on television, the Billy Graham Crusades. I remember finding his preaching to be compelling, even as a little child. And I remember that the preaching was quite clear. There was no doubt about it. In fact, it was back in 1962 that Billy Graham was at Harvard University, and in an address that was called Intellectuals, actually, it was called Evangelism and the Intellectual. He was talking to the student body and to the faculty and to the staff of Harvard University. And among the many things that he had to say back in 1962, Billy Graham said this.
This Bible indicates that the mighty God of all the universe has spoken and revealed himself in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. God took the initiative in giving Christ. Why does the church put so much emphasis on the cross? Why? Because on that cross, something very mysterious took place. God took our sins, the breaking of law that deserved death and judgment, and laid them on Christ. Who was Christ? He said, he made the astounding claim, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Either Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, or he's the biggest liar and fraud and charlatan in history.
That's Billy Graham in 1962 at Harvard University. That is just one piece of about a two-hour address where he was talking to the students there at Harvard. He made no bones about it whatsoever. There was no equivocating. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. He was there bottom line to deliver to them not only the plight of society as he saw it there in the early 60s, but the only answer that he saw to society's and to each individual's ills, and that is the exclusive claims of Jesus Christ. You heard him quote Jesus right there, where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's Billy Graham in 1962 answering the question, who is Jesus Christ, and heralding the claims of Jesus to be the only way, the only truth, the only life. I guess you could call that, if you will, the old Billy. Now, here's Billy Graham in 1997. He was appearing via satellite during Robert Schuller's Hour of Power.
Tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is.
Now, many people heard that when Billy Graham spoke via satellite during Robert Schuller's Hour of Power, that little interview with Robert Schuller, and were perplexed. They thought they were hearing a new Billy Graham, especially those who had been brought up on the Billy Graham of, as we played, 1962, boldly speaking at Harvard University, the bastion of intellectual skepticism, proclaiming Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. They were a bit perplexed to hear him say that there may be people in this world. In fact, he said there are people in this world who may not even know the name of Jesus Christ, and yet they feel a need, follow the only light that they have, Muslims, Buddhists, whatever it may be, and Billy Graham expects to see them in heaven, even apart from faith in Jesus Christ. Now, granted, that's a lot of years, 1962 to 1997. People change. Have you noticed a change in Billy Graham's message, statements, preaching, teaching? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's Thursday, May the 31st. They're dedicating the Billy Graham Library. Billy Graham said it's a tool for the gospel, and his whole life has always been about the gospel. So which gospel is it? The gospel of the old Billy Graham, Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, that centers upon the cross of Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for sins and the only way to heaven, or the gospel of the new Billy Graham, where people may not even know Jesus, but following the only light that they have, he expects to see them in heaven. Do you prefer the old Billy Graham or the new Billy Graham? issuesetc@kfuo.org or 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. How do you account for, if you notice a change, how do you account for the change? It's audio open lines, issues, etc. Let's go to the phones and talk first with Jay, who calls from his car. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well.
I just got in the car and turned on my radio to listen to the last, well, probably most of that excerpt from the Reverend, but I can't even believe I heard him say that. Do you think it might be just a natural extension of decision theology to go that route?
How do you mean that, Jay?
Well, if salvation's about what we do instead of about what God does, it's about us making the decision instead of about what he does for us. If that's what you believe, then how much further can you take that? Because, you know, I decide to follow the light. I decide to live according to some moral code. It's my decision, not something God's doing for me. So therefore, can you extrapolate that into something that he says? And is that the, is is that the fundamental issue, the decision part of the process?
You know, I hadn't even thought about that, Jay. Thank you very much for the call. So Jay is asking, answering the question, why would Billy Graham say that there are those who don't even know the name of Jesus Christ, and yet following the light such as they have it, be it the Buddhist light, the Muslim light, the Hindu light, he expects to see them in heaven. Jay asks, could it possibly be the logical extension of a decision theology? That is, if what matters, if the pivotal event in salvation is your sincere decision to dedicate your life to Jesus, does Jesus really matter that much in that decision? You see what I'm saying? If it's how sincere your decision is, let's say you make a sincere decision to follow the only light you have, which is Islam. If it's a sincere decision, and it's the decision that is decisive, then how could God say no to that? It's something to ponder, Jay. Thank you very much. Let's see what Scott has to say, calling from his car. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Todd. Great conversation or topic. I wonder if part of it isn't just that, you know, you think about all of the people that you know and love who are lost, and you don't want to think about them not being with you in heaven. And maybe after a while you just say, oh, God couldn't have done it this way. And you give a little. He's been under a tremendous amount of pressure to back off of the gospel message.
So, Scott, you have noticed a change in Billy Graham's preaching, teaching statements?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So do you prefer the old Billy Graham or the new Billy Graham?
The old.
Scott?
What good does it do if we tell people that they're going to get to heaven through some way other than Jesus when Jesus said he's the only way?
Scott, thank you very much. It's a good question. Back in 1962, Billy Graham didn't seem to have any qualms about saying Jesus is the only way of salvation for all men. In fact, if you listen to his entire address at Harvard University, and that's just emblematic of what his preaching was like in those days and thereabouts, if you listen to his entire address, he made it so abundantly clear that he considered these claims of Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world to extend to every manner, station, and person on the planet. Universal in its scope. That Jesus is the only Savior of all men. This completely exclusive and yet universal claim that Jesus says, I'm the only way that anyone reaches the Father. And he was very clear in his message of the cross. That's what was also oddly missing from his statements during the Hour of Power in 1997. Old Billy Graham, new Billy Graham, which one do you prefer? Have you noticed? Or maybe you think, look, people say things. People have their comments misconstrued. Billy Graham hasn't changed. Billy Graham was the same in 62 as he was in 97 and is today. I want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issues@kfuo.org. This is Sally calling from her car. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Todd. Well, I have to say that I like the old Billy Graham. I can remember him watching like you as a kid, and he would rightly divide law and gospel, but at that last hook is where he'd mess up and say, now you got to make your decision, you know?
Right.
So that it wasn't all gospel, where the new Billy Graham seems to be more schwaffling. Maybe dementia or hardening of the arteries or something, you know, setting in at his age. I don't know.
Sally, I don't know, because I listened very carefully when he had his last crusade, although they didn't call it a crusade. It was an evangelistic event that he had. I think it was in New York City, if I'm not mistaken. And even at his advanced age, the guy is sharper than most people half his age. So I wouldn't attribute it to old age necessarily. So far, our listeners detect a change in Billy Graham over the decades. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's Thursday, the 31st of May. Give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, or 505-7850. Or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. In 62... He sounds, I was listening to this audio, and I mentioned to Jeff while we were going over the audio, you know, if Billy Graham were still preaching like this, like he did in 1962, I'd like to have him as a guest on the program. But Sally's right. There, even Billy Graham in his best, I like to put it this way, he always preached too long. He would preach very clear law and very clear gospel, and that's where he should have stopped. It's not that he preached too long by way of the clock. He preached too long. He said too much. He took away with the left hand what he gave with the right. He gave very beautiful comfort in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners, and then robbed his listeners of that comfort, even on his best day, by saying, you know, Jesus did all this and everything that he could do, and now the rest is up to you. It's up to you to make your decision. What do you think? Do you prefer the old Billy Graham or the new one, as they dedicate a library to his name, and he says it's going to serve as a tool for the gospel? Will it be the gospel of the old Billy or of the new? Ruthie calls from Glendale. Hi, Ruthie.
Hi. I think Billy Graham went soft more than 10 years ago. He used to say that the biggest dangers to Christianity were Catholicism, communism, and ecumenism, and he was going soft on those way before 10 years ago.
Well, my memory doesn't function as well as yours, Ruthie. Thank you very much. There was a day when, now, you got to remember, communism was an atheistic system that was taking over much of the world. The Roman Catholic Church was adamant, especially prior to 1962-63, and we're talking there about Vatican II, was just adamant in its opposition to a pure preaching of the gospel in any form. You can understand his opposition there. How do you account for it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issues, etc@kfuo.org. I remember the very first year that I sat in this chair. Do you remember this, Jeff? You and I, Billy Graham came to St. Louis. Do you remember that year? You and I, for some reason, went down to what was then the TWA Dome or whatever it was. We went down there and sat on the floor when Billy Graham was preaching.
Truth be told, listeners, I had to hold him in his chair. He wanted to respond to the altar call.
That's right. When the altar call came,
it wasn't for me.
I was ready.
Got
to go.
Born again.
I was running down. I was ready to run. Jeff had to trip me in the aisle. No. We went down there and we sat on the floor and very politely listened to the whole Billy Graham crusade. It was a packed house. I don't know how many people that arena holds. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, anywhere from somewhere in, let's just say 60,000 people. It was a packed house. And this was a multi-night thing. It was back when he was still kind of in his, or at least physically in his prime. He could do the entire crusade. The media was there. Everybody was there. We went down, we came back, and we talked about it a little bit. We talked about Billy Graham's theology. I distinctly remember the listeners at that time arguing with me about whether or not Billy Graham was changing his theology, softening his theology, and arguing with me about whether or not Billy Graham, there was any concerns at all about Billy Graham's theology. So some of you may not have noticed a change at all. Maybe you say, look, he's just found a different way to say the same thing. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issues etc@kfuo.org. It's open lines this Thursday, the 31st of May. Well, here's someone who has noticed a change in Billy Graham and likes the change he's noticed. This is Brian McLaren. He's the new president of Sojourners and also one of the leaders of the emerging church movement. He's author of a book called A Generous Orthodoxy, among others. This is what Brian McLaren has to say about Billy Graham and how he broke down barriers.
Billy Graham represented an attempt to acknowledge that fundamentalism always had a constricting tendency, and he was always trying to reach out beyond just this kind of constricted fundamentalist mentality.
Now, it's hard to tell what Brian McLaren means by constricted fundamentalist mentality, but having read his books, I can take a guess, which is if you believe, say, that personal salvation, that individual salvation is the point of the Bible, he would call that fundamentalist, a constricted fundamentalist mentality. If you have a robust view of sin, that he would consider constricted and fundamentalist. If you hold to a view of absolute truth, that is, there is an absolute truth and there are also things that are absolutely false and that there's no light between the two, then he would probably also call that a constricted fundamentalism. Brian McLaren likes what he's hearing from Billy Graham. Do you? Brian McLaren says Billy's changed and he likes the new Billy better than the old. Do you agree? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, McLaren says that the Reverend Billy Graham, over the years, grew into more of a uniter than a divider.
Billy Graham has been someone who brings a lot of people together. You know, in Billy's early career, he was much more strident. He was very anti-communist, pro-American, a lot more political in some ways.
Well, that's true. I mean, Billy Graham was political, especially if you count his long association with the various residents of the White House, although I think he would have argued that that was not a political thing, but more a pastoral thing that he was up to when he had his associations with Nixon and all the other presidents throughout the time, pretty much up to the time of, I think, the present president, although in his old age, I don't think he spends a lot of time hobnobbing with George W. Bush. But he has been known to be the friend of presidents, the advisor of presidents, across party lines. He was an adamantly opposed to communism, as Ruthie pointed out, also to ecumenism, although Brian McLaren likes the change. He thinks that Billy Graham has become much more ecumenical, and he thinks that's a change for the better. And he's not as strident as he used to be. Do you prefer the new Billy Graham, too? issuesetc@kfuo.org, 1-800-730-2727, or 505-7850. Brian McLaren, who's chairman of the left-of-center evangelical group called Sojourners, says Graham is less strident than he was in his younger years.
As he's gotten older, he's gotten humbler and less prone to damn and anathematize other people.
It's very interesting to hear Brian McLaren talk that way. He's become humbler. So the Billy Graham in 1962, I just wonder as a test, the Billy Graham who in 1962 boldly spoke to the students and the staff at Harvard and said, "Who is Jesus? He's the only way, the only truth, the only life, and if he isn't who he says he is, then he is the biggest liar in history." That's pretty strident, isn't it? Now, I happen to believe it's also true. I agree with 1962 Billy. He believed that those who perish apart from Jesus Christ perish eternally. Now, Brian McLaren doesn't believe in hell. I think he hardly believes in heaven. So, what exactly is the change that's taken place? And why do you think it has taken place in Billy Graham? It's Audio Open Lines. We're talking about Billy Graham. Have you noticed a change in the preaching, teaching statements of Billy Graham in the last decade or two? And if so, do you prefer the new Billy Graham or the old Billy Graham? It's Open Lines. We'll be right back for more of your phone calls and your email. Stay tuned.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you knew Jesus was going to come back in the next hour, would you be excited? Would you be distressed? Would you be unhappy? The Apostle John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Do you share that sentiment? We'll talk about the end of Revelation chapter 22 next time of the Bible study with Dr. Walter Meyer II, 10:05 next time.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
Well, if you like uplifting, faith-strengthening, Christ-centered music, then I invite you to join me for Jubilation every Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. You'll get excerpts from Scripture, you'll get a bit of humor, some personal reflections and insights into God's holy word, and they'll all be blended together with the music to make for a satisfying radio recipe for a Sunday afternoon. I'm Mark Hawkinson. Join me, won't you? That's Jubilation Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on AM 850 KFUO.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Kim Troby, sitting in for Bob Dittmer. The religious left wants more airtime, and they're piggybacking on a new report in order to get the lights, camera, action. The study, dubbed Left Behind, found conservative religious voices are used 3 to 4 times more often than their liberal counterparts. But Steve Jordahl reports that doesn't always mean they're quoted in a friendly context.
To find out, we turn to Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Tony, thank you, sir, for joining us. Just your whole position on this, just let us know.
Well, I think it's premature to call for the Speaker or the leadership to resign.
Here, Chris Matthews queries Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council on the conservative Christian take on the Mark Foley scandal several years ago. This was one of the appearances counted in the liberal watchdog group Media Matters for America's study. Katie Barge of Faith and Public Life agrees with the conclusions of the study.
What Media Matters wanted to do was take a look at, well, who's getting quoted among religious leaders when it comes to the news of the day, to give a religious perspective.
But Barge admits the study didn't take the context of the interview into consideration. In the above example, would religious liberals be able to comment on what conservative Christians think? Perkins says he's often brought on as a token opposing view to balance an unacknowledged liberal bias.
The more liberal view is the host view, the predominant view, so you don't need someone who's going to come on and have a love fest with him, and that's often what you see from the evangelical left.
Gary Schneeberger of Focus on the Family Action says the study draws a false comparison.
They're comparing apples and pastors in this case. The folks that they list as religious figures aren't religious figures on the conservative side.
They're public policy analysts who just happen to be conservative Christians. For Family News in Focus, I'm Steve Jordahl.
The top conservative Christians asked to comment by the media, Perkins and Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention. On the liberal side, Jim Wallace of Sojourners, followed by Rabbi Michael Lerner. For Family News in Focus, I'm Kim Troby.
Perhaps you can recall an instance when a well-timed word of encouragement or a simple act of kindness made a profound impact in your life. On the next Focus on the Family with Dr. James Dobson, hear author and speaker Bob Benson share classic, heartwarming stories that show the importance of connecting with others. That's next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Issues Etc. Regular guest pastor John Pless is the author of our Book of the Month for May titled Word God Speaks to Us. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of this Bible study on our website, issuesetc.org. What's the relationship between the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit? Find out with Word God Speaks to Us, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
You say you never compromise with a mystery tramp, but now you realize he's not selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to?
Well, we're talking about Billy Graham, old and new. We had some audio before the break about Billy Graham speaking at Harvard in 1962, where he was just as clear as crystal that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. He even went on to say that if Jesus is not telling the truth about that, he's the biggest liar in all history. And then lo and behold, not too many years later, a couple decades later, in 1997, we played some audio of him saying that there are people who probably don't even know who Jesus is, but if they follow their own light, the light, the only lights they have, Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever it may be, he expects to see them in heaven. Do you detect a change in Billy Graham's teaching and message and preaching? So do you prefer the old or the new Billy? I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Thursday, the 31st of May. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We're also listening to some audio from Brian McLaren, who is the new chairman of Sojourners, a left-to-center evangelical group, And Brian McLaren is also famous for being one of the leading lights in the emerging Merge-Ent church movement, author of a book called A Generous Orthodoxy, wherein he calls himself a conservative liberal, a Protestant Catholic. He likes to play with terms and doesn't want to be labeled by any of them. Brian McLaren doesn't believe in hell. He likes to borrow eclectically from various traditions in the church and has a real problem with Christians who say that salvation is what Christianity is all about. And he thinks Billy Graham has changed, and he likes the change. And we're just asking for your opinion on that matter as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's our in-studio email address. And this is Nancy calling from her car. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Billy Graham is definitely something happened to him. He is totally wrong. I hate to see how he's going to pay for this, but he is totally, totally wrong.
So
someone got to him.
What do you think happened?
The liberals probably got to him. Like they try to get to everybody else. But he is definitely wrong.
Nancy, thank you very much. You know, I think people will puzzle over this. Perhaps they'll wait to puzzle over it until after the Reverend Graham has passed away, given it some time, and then said, you know, what happened with Billy Graham? There are people who are already heralding the changes, like Brian McLaren, who say the old Billy was strident. He had a fundamentalist streak. He was concerned about not being too divisive, but he's really made a change for the better lately. Keith in North Platte, Nebraska writes this via email. What Billy Graham said to Robert Shuler sounded like a renouncement of Christianity. Is that too harsh, he asks. If so, how do I reconcile Islam and Christianity? Well, it's a good question, Brian. I don't know. Because Billy Graham seemed to indicate that those who do not know Christ and yet follow their own lights, as he say, the only lights they have, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever it may be, he expects to see them in heaven. Apparently, at least according to that statement, there's really no need to reconcile Christianity and Islam. I think the model there is that all roads, if you're sincere, all roads lead in the same direction. Kurt calls from his car. Hi, Kurt.
Pastor Todd, thank you. I have a question and a comment. One question, and maybe you or someone in the listening audience knows this, it very well could be that the Billy Graham Association itself is embarrassed by his comments, and also his son Franklin Graham. They may be, but Billy Graham is Billy Graham. That's the name of the association. Let me just speculate in terms of why he has taken a different view of things, and that is, I think that when people go to the White House, and he's been to the White House many times, I think the power, the absolute power that that office represents, I think that there must be a tremendous temptation to get along. And, for example, you take a young congressman that gets elected and goes to Washington, the first thing they do is they invite him on an aircraft carrier, and they have 5,000 sailors stand at attention. They start firing the guns and salute, and I think any normal person can be overawed by the power. It must be very seductive in Washington, and so and I think this happens with Christian leaders. I think that it's been mentioned that oftentimes when Christian leaders go to Washington to make a point, they're ushered into the Oval Office, and all of a sudden they don't know what to say. So that could be part of it.
Okay, Kurt, thank you very much. Now, Billy Graham's involvement with presidents is no secret. In fact, in many cases, he appears to have offered some pretty steady pastoral counsel to some of these stories may be apocryphal, we don't know, but some steady pastoral counsel to presidents in hours of darkness. Now, I don't know whether a mere visit to the White House can do this to a guy of the fiber of Billy Graham. I don't even know if multiple visits to the White House could do that. His whole career had been built upon this notion that why else would you go to Russia, to all these places in the world, at great expense, marvelous expense, in order to hold evangelistic crusades, to make evangelism your whole reason for being on the planet, to go and to proclaim Christ and Him crucified is the only way of salvation for sinners. If He isn't the only way, there's no reason to do evangelism, by the way. If Jesus isn't the only way and there are other ways, there is no reason to do evangelism. Let everyone find their own light. And that's what I wondered about when I heard Billy Graham in 1997 talking to Robert Schuller saying that, you know, people find their own lights, and when they follow them, he expects to see them in heaven. And I wondered to myself, Billy, why have you spent your entire life doing evangelism then? I don't know if it's just visits to the White House. I mean, that's obviously a life-changing experience, but that life-changing? Ruth calls from Dallas. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Todd. I have quite a lot to go through if I can. My husband was a, I call him a Lutheran lay theologian, not officially, but that's what he really was. And he started out, converted back in Chicago at Victory Center in 1948 or something like, 7 or 8. Was non-denominational and attended, after he got out of the service, Northern Baptist Theological College in Chicago, which was patterned after after Wheaton, and very had a good teaching there. Anyway, he and a bunch of other students went to hear Billy Graham back when he was just first starting out in Wheaton. They had to sit out on the grass and listen to him, and then they debated whether Billy was really a Christian or not. The Baptists tend to do that sort of thing, you know. But they had questions back then. But, you know, he was definitely a fundamentalist type and asked for decisions, which was something we always complained about, etc. But I think a big change came with him when he went to Russia. He went to Russia to preach, you know. And I think he compromised there. He, of course, was controlled in where he went, and then he came back and he said there was religious persecution in the United States, sounding like it was just as bad as Russia. He wouldn't make any distinctions. I think that was a real thing. Now, he sounded better at times on TV when we heard him. We even went to one of his things up in Chicago when we were there. But remember, his brother was pastor at Highland Park Presbyterian here in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Reverend Bell. And he always, from the beginning, wanted to keep the mainline churches involved in his, I can't think what to call him, but anyway, his evangelism. So he would tell people to go to a church afterward, but he would never give them any direction as to be sure it was a Bible-believing church or whatever. And I think later he even compromised with Roman Catholics, and the stuff he said at the end sounded more like the Roman Catholics, that everybody really is basically a Catholic, and they're a believer if they do what they think is best, and yet they'll come out on the other side of their mouth and they'll say Jesus is the only answer, and Billy Graham will. So I'm not sure quite what to think, but there's certainly heavy questions going all the way back.
All right, Ruth, thank you very much. There's some history, and yeah, I remember Highland Park Presbyterian there, one of the largest churches in Dallas, by the way. And look, I imagine if you went down to Billy's house, wherever he lives, I imagine it's someplace in Georgia or someplace, if you went down to Billy's house and you stopped him and you said, Reverend Graham, is Jesus the only way of salvation? He would say, well, of course. But of course, when he's on national television with Robert Schuller during the Hour of Power at Coral Ridge back in 1997, and Schuller asks him, what do you think the future of Christianity is? He says the future of Christianity is people who don't even know Jesus Christ following their own light, and he expects to see them in heaven. So, yes, it is a lot like the Roman Catholic Church, who will say, oh, Jesus is the only way, and then turn around and say, but there are all sorts of anonymous Christians out there, people who may be Christians without even knowing it. It's odd. You know what I wonder is, as influential as Billy is, and as much as a bellwether of Christianity as he is, does this show us where American Christianity is headed? Can we expect similar statements in the future, maybe with a few more years and gray hairs, from guys like Bill Hybels or Rick Warren, where they start to say, you know, if people just follow their own lights, we expect to see them in heaven?
Here's what I want to know. Since it appears that Pastor Graham has adopted the Roman Catholic teaching on anonymous Christianity, will they start referring people from the evangelistic crusades to Roman Catholic churches?
I don't think he specifically refers anyone to any specific churches, but
well, follow-ups they do. When you get a whole list of churches after you
well,
make your decisions.
Well, you know,
for Christ.
I suppose that depends on whether or not the Roman Catholic churches send people to work the crusade. If they do, they might get the right to have their church recommended. hard to say. You know, there are those steps. You know, you got to make your decision for Christ, and then it says, you know, start studying God's Word and find a church and start going to church. If someone wants to go to an Episcopal church that says all roads lead to God, would that be fair game? Tom calls from his car. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Pastor Todd. I think as we get older, we start to think about legacy, and I wonder, just speculating on what might be causing him to speak the way he's speaking, don't you think it has a lot to do with the fact that his time is nearly over, and he's thinking, well, maybe I'd better mend some fences, and maybe my legacy will be better perceived or more universally perceived as a good guy. And so I'm going to say what I say to kind of cement or make a legacy for myself.
I really hope that's not the case, Tom. I understand what you're saying, but I really hope it's not the case. I just cannot help but think of the words of Jesus. What is a profit a man to gain the whole world, even the whole world's adulation when he dies, but to forfeit his own soul? Well, here's some more. Brian McLaren of Sojourner says that the Reverend Billy Graham, his evangelism crossed boundaries.
First, he crossed racial boundaries. Then he crossed boundaries between Protestants and Catholics. Eventually, he crossed boundaries between Western Christians and the Eastern Orthodox. To me, this trajectory of his life has been in a direction of charitableness and, I think, Christ-likeness in so many ways.
Well, that's Brian McLaren's take, and there's no doubt about it. Billy Graham, at least if the new Billy Graham is what we're actually, if we're seeing this 2020, is starting to cross boundaries, perhaps even between Christian religions and non-Christian religions. Here's Brian McLaren again. He believes that Billy Graham has matured during all these decades of evangelism.
Billy Graham, especially in the last few decades of his life, what he has radiated, I think, to people, what he's conveyed to people, first of all, is a sincere faith and commitment to Christ and the good news of Christ.
Okay, I guess I could say that's true of the 1962 Billy Graham, a sincere dedication to Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ. I'd like the Reverend McLaren. Is he a Reverend McLaren? I don't know. We'll just call him Brian, since we're all emergent here and everybody goes by their first names. I wonder if Brian, how he would define the good news of Jesus Christ. His book's right down on my shelf. I think he defines it as kind of a holistic recreation and restoration of the world. He's big on the environment, by the way. He considers stopping CO2 emissions on the same level with proclaiming the gospel. It's all kind of one. See, here's the problem. That's what's really at stake here is the gospel. If the gospel is a moving target that suddenly can mean anything, if the good news of Jesus Christ, in quotes, can mean anything you want it to mean, then you have people saying stuff like, you know, everybody follows their own light. And if they follow their own light and they're sincere, we expect to see them in heaven. When you start to compromise on what the gospel itself is, that message that saves, then pretty soon it means whatever you want it to mean. Finally, Brian McLaren of the social justice organization called Sojourners says that the Reverend Billy Graham has become humble, more humble, in his old age.
His maturity and growth through the years is an example to all of us. He's someone who admitted as he got older that he knew less in some ways when he was older than he knew when he was younger.
I just wonder about that whole salvation thing. When he was younger, he knew, he sounds like he knew, that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He lived like he knew it, didn't he? I mean, he went out and dedicated his life to traveling the world, traveling this country especially, with that message of Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. He lived as though he knew that to be true. I wonder if that's one of the things he's given up, that he thought, well, you know, I thought I knew it when I was young, but I don't know as much as I used to know. Phil calls from his car. Hi, Phil.
Hi. When I first became a Christian, you know, I poured myself into the Bible. I listened to nothing but Christian radio. My mind was being renewed, you know, every day. You know, I'd go to church. And then there was a time in my life where I got too busy on Sundays. and then I quit going. I quit reading my Bible. I quit listening to Christian radio and things, and I'd listen to other people's point of view and the worldly's idea of what Christianity is and how do you get to heaven. And I started thinking on those same lines as Billy Graham was saying when he was older. I wonder if he just started hanging around with, you know, different people, the Schulers, different things like this, hearing their ideas. He quit having his mind renewed. Maybe he doesn't have devotionals anymore. And he has just been, you know, Satan has lied to him.
I don't know, Phil. That's a good question. It's a very good question. Roy's up next, and he's calling from his car. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. You know, I can remember listening to him, too, as a young child. And you know, as I listened to that excerpt from 62, you'd almost think it was a Reformation pastor preaching law and gospel. And then you hear him, you know, 40-some-odd years later, and he sounds just like Schuller. I think we've painted, or some people paint Christianity with too broad of a brush. In other words, trying to be all things to all people instead of taking Christ to all people. I heard him on C-SPAN a few years back at Harvard, and that question was some student asked him, well, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And Billy Graham said he would let God answer that question. I mean, he didn't say the Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. So I think he's backed up on a lot of issues, and I'm not quite sure why.
Thank you very much, Roy. You know, in the end, I don't care whether Billy Graham has gone soft on communism, gone soft on what presidents he likes to hobnob with, or his politics. It doesn't bother me a bit. People in their old age, or whatever it may be, can go soft on any issue they want to. I mean, they used to be against smoking, and now they say, ah, go ahead. Smoke them if you have them. They used to be against drinking. Okay, go ahead. They used to be against driving fast. Now they drive like a crazy man. Those things don't bother me. You know, there's all sorts of areas in life where we can, in time, afford to compromise. But on this issue, about whether Jesus is right when he says he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, issues ETC at KFUO.org. Here's Steve calling from his car. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I got 2 points on, I guess let's call him Brian, as you said earlier. First of all, point number one, if he thought that Billy Graham was strident, what to say about Jesus when Jesus says that he's the only way, or to Peter and John when they say to the Sanhedrin that there's only one name under heaven they could be saved, or even Paul in his letters. I guess they're just not humble either.
That's true. I mean, why are we talking about Billy Graham? You're right, Steve. Why are we talking about Billy Graham? And if Brian McLaren of Sojourners wants to critique the teaching of someone, he would do much better not just to critique the teaching of the old Billy Graham, but in fact of Jesus and the apostles. We don't want to offend anybody, do we? Life is so much easier if you make it your goal in life not to offend anyone. I can guarantee you get better seats at the restaurants. Life will just be, you'll get along with everyone, your wife, your kids, your neighbors, if you just make it your business not to offend anyone. Now, what it's going to require of you, if you really are serious about this, being of no offense to anyone on anything, it's going to require of you some compromise. When in polite conversation, the subject turns political, you're just going to have to keep your mouth shut. Or get yourself into such a state of mind that you have no opinions whatsoever. You just stand there nodding your head. Everybody's right. When the matters turn to other offensive topics that may tend to offend, like religion, you're either going to have to keep your mouth shut if you don't want to offend anyone, or you're going to have to get yourself into such a state of mind that you have no real opinions or ideas in that realm. And then you can just stand there while everyone talks and nod your head. As someone says, I believe Jesus is the only way, you nod your head. Yeah, sounds like a good idea. And someone else says, yes, but I think there are many ways to heaven. You can say, oh, that sounds okay too, and nod your head. You can become a human bobblehead. And that's really the best way to live your life without offending anyone. You will have to compromise. You will. You have to compromise a lot of things. There will be a lot of things you won't be able to do. You won't be able to stand on the street corner and say, I'm a Republican, because, of course, that's going to offend somebody. You won't be able to stand on the street corner and even espouse what your favorite style of music is, because, you know, that could offend somebody. It probably will. It's not hard to offend people these days. Jesus. I don't know. I just don't picture Jesus in the New Testament standing there while everyone else voiced their opinions, nodding his head like a human bobblehead. In fact, if you read the New Testament, he ended up offending a lot of people. One of the most offensive things he ever said, ironically quoted by Billy Graham back in 1962 at Harvard University, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When he says that he is the only salvation of all men, that it will be his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection that will atone for the sins of all the world, and that there will be no salvation apart from him. Those who believe on the Son have eternal life. Those who believe not are already condemned, Jesus says in the Gospel of John. Those are offensive statements. Now, if Jesus was interested in not offending anyone, he never would have uttered those statements. He certainly never would have gone and lived them out by giving his life for us as a sacrifice at the cross, because that in itself stands as the greatest offense in all of human history. Jesus laying down his life for us at the cross. If the church, be it Billy Graham or its preachers, if Christians want to get by in life without offending anyone, you're going to have to give up the cross of Jesus Christ. Some churches are doing it by degrees. Some of them have already just jettisoned the cross altogether because they found it in their interest and obviously to their benefit, at least numerically, to be as inoffensive as possible. Billy Graham, for whatever reason, simply does not want to bear the offense of the cross any longer. Follow your own light. Be sincere. I expect to see you in heaven. Which makes you wonder why he spent all those years doing evangelism. At Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, what are they doing? They're training pastors not to compromise for any reason and not to be afraid of the offense that is the message of the cross. They're training these pastors to speak this truth, this exclusive truth of Jesus as the only way of salvation for all sinners, to speak this truth in love in the 21st century. Now, they'll still be perceived as strident and divisive, but that isn't going to shut them up. Find out more about what Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is doing to train brave pastors with that uncompromising message for the 21st century. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155. When we come back from this break, Wesley Smith is going to join us. Jack Kevorkian gets out of prison tomorrow after 8 years. Dr. Death is a free man. We'll see what Wesley says about it after this.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.